I am the good shepherd. The shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for one another. Let us love not in word or speech, but in truth and action. What a week it has been. I'm going to go off script for a minute and tell you it was really hard to write this sermon today. Maybe we'll get to why, but it's been a week, friends of St. Michael's. I think first and foremost, the verdict we had all been waiting for was finally handed down. The killing of an unarmed black man by police in broad daylight, witnessed by a crowd of people, captured on video, and we still weren't sure there was going to be a guilty verdict. Too many other instances of police killing unarmed black men and not guilty verdicts being handed down. But Derek Chauvin was found guilty of murdering George Floyd. As Martin Luther King said, the arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends toward justice. That verdict was one more bend in that arc. Thanks be to God. And yet, as the jury in Minneapolis was about to convict Derek Chauvin of murder, police in Columbus, Ohio, shot and killed a black child, a 16-year-old, Micaiah Bryant. An innocent victim lost to a trigger-happy cop who couldn't be bothered to de-escalate a fight between a couple of teenagers and hastily thought the best way to end this was to kill one of them instead. Any joy or relief over the Chauvin verdict vanished. It was a reminder, as if we needed it, that we still have so, so far to go. It was a reminder, as if we needed it, that one conviction in 2000 is not the end of four centuries of systemic racism. Because our country still cannot and will not fully reckon with its racist history, that this country was built on the genocide of black and indigenous people. And yes, it was genocide. The intent to destroy, in whole or in part, a national, ethnic, racial, or religious group of people. I'm going to get to why I'm crying in a minute. It is important to take the risk to speak the truth of these things. As our scripture for today says, let us love in truth and action. It is important that we risk confronting painful truths, because the alternative, silence, staying in our comfort zones while beloved children of God continue to be oppressed, silence when black people are killed by police at alarmingly high rates, silence when indigenous people are fighting to protect their sacred lands from toxic pipelines, and still in the last decade, in this century, are fighting against policies that forcibly removed Native children from their parents, silence when the effects of genocide are still happening in front of our eyes today, here on our shores and around the world, that is not a godly alternative. That is not a holy option. We have been working for the past year to tell the truth of St. Michael's history, as well as our city's history, our country's history, to keep showing up for uncomfortable truths about who we are and how we came to be. And now we are in the midst of discerning what action we will take as the St. Michael's family regarding reparations for African Americans as this parish has impacted them. This has not been an easy or comfortable process, but it is a necessary process. One we must remain committed to if we are to love, not in empty words or speech, but in purposeful truth and action. Because truth and action are what matter. They are the witness of the meaning of our words to the wider world. They make the difference. So, on a personal note, I want to tell you how powerful it is to experience truth and action. I swore I would not cry doing this. Yesterday, President Biden did what no other sitting U.S. president has done, and he formally acknowledged the Armenian genocide. He simply named this fact of history, and he called it what it was. Friends, Armenians have been waiting for over a century for the truth of what happened to us to be acknowledged by the leader of the free world. Knowing the horrors that my family endured, I grew up with a living survivor of the genocide, whose matriarchal presence in my family had a deep impact on me. Knowing what she endured as the only survivor of her family, the horrific, the horrors, stories that should not be told to children, and knowing that this wasn't taught in history books or acknowledged by our own government and still is denied by the Turkish government was so deeply painful. Generational trauma, I think they call it these days. And so to hear, finally, the leader of the free world acknowledge that the systematic extermination of the Armenians in the Ottoman Empire a century ago was genocide, it opened up worlds within me. I don't know how to describe to you this whoosh of emotion. I cried a lot yesterday, clearly haven't finished. Elation and grief, relief, happiness, deep sadness, were just swirling. And what it did was that after a century of outrage and pain and hoping against hope that our cries would be heard, the telling of truth finally made room for the grief to emerge. I wept, not tears of happiness. They were tears for all that had been lost, that I and all Armenians have not yet been able to fully grieve. For my Mezmarig, my great-grandmother, the only survivor in her family, who always told me how important it was to never forget my mother tongue or my faith. She knew all too well that threat of extinction. But here's the thing, buried under this grief are seeds of hope that have been dormant. Those seeds finally saw the light of day. Those seeds can now finally start germinating. The truth and the action of our nation's leader to speak the truth, even when it was risky, was salve to start healing the deep wounds that a century of denial had inflicted. Truth and action have power. Today is Good Shepherd Sunday. We have before us the image of Jesus as the one who protects and cares for his flock. It's a nice image, or so we would be led to believe by centuries of Renaissance art and stained glass windows with idyllic pastoral scenes of sheep grazing and a shepherd sweetly piping nearby. But we need to set the record straight on what exactly it is shepherds do. Shepherds do dirty work. Shepherds were not, in first century Palestine, an honored occupation. They were at the bottom rung of the social ladder. Shepherds dealt with dirty animals and dangerous predators. They had to defend their flock from creatures who seek to destroy them for their own gain. Wolves looking for a meal, to kill an innocent, undeserving creature simply so it can fatten its belly. Shepherds put themselves in harm's way to fight off these dangerous predators. Shepherds fight for their flock. They defend them. They protect them at all costs. And as Jesus reminds us, they are different from the hired hand. The hired hand who is supposedly there to protect the sheep but runs away at the first sight of a wolf, who lets the sheep get devoured in order to spare his own life. Loving in words and speech versus truth and action is the difference between the hired hand and the shepherd. Beloved friends of St. Michael's, as Christ's body in the world, we must be shepherds. We must be good shepherds. We hear a lot these days about how Christianity in America is on the decline. I have to wonder if that's because people walk into too many churches and see a lot of hired hands. If they see energy focused on internal affairs rather than external mission, on studying faith rather than living it, on doing things right rather than living righteously, on maintaining peace rather than preaching peace, on not rocking the boat rather than venturing out into the storm, and they see a social club instead of the body of Christ. I have to wonder if the body of Christ hasn't been courageous enough to be good shepherds. And my friends, today, I am convinced that, like Esther so many centuries ago, we have been called for such a time as this. I believe that God is calling us today to be shepherds in a world of hired hands. Now is the time for Christians, for us who seek to love and follow Jesus, to reclaim and proclaim our faith. Faith in Jesus, the Good Shepherd, who came to show the world what God's love, sacrificial and unconditional, really looks like. The kind of love that lays down its life for the sheep. We are called at this moment in time to not be afraid of that gospel truth, to love in truth and action, to take the risk to confront the wolf, not because we believe in goodness, but because we believe in Jesus, not because we're good, but because we're Christian. We claim that name. And this is the time to rise up, surely as our Lord and Savior did, from the shadow of death into the newness of life. This is the time to love, not in word and speech, but in truth and action. And that starts by speaking the truth and taking the action to boldly name genocide, not only on distant shores, but here at home, and telling the truth of history. That starts with not shying away from the awful truth that black bodies are killed by police at alarmingly high rates, and honoring the memory of those who have been killed and saying their names: George Floyd, Micaiah Bryant, Breonna Taylor, Dante Wright, Philando Castile, Freddie Gray, Eric Garner, and so many others. That starts by asking not, what am I willing to do, but what is it that must be done to ensure a more just future, the kind of future where God's kingdom is realized, to pave the way for God's kingdom where there is no partiality, as you're all reading in the letter of James right now, where there is no partiality, where the wideness of God's mercy extends equally to all people, where within God's loving embrace, we look at each other and see not a threat to be eliminated, but a beloved child of God. Loving in truth and action does not bring easy answers or quick fixes. There are no kumbaya moments. Truth, as the saying goes, sometimes hurts, but it also sets us free. When my knee is on your neck, it doesn't just keep you down, it keeps me stuck too. Neither of us can go anywhere. So friends, let's get up. Let's rise up together and let the Good Shepherd lead us. Amen.